So we left off last week kind of just tiptoeing into the seven letters of the seven churches. Let me say, we know that we can communicate multiple things simultaneously, right? So, like, for instance, if one of my children are standing there and we have a sink full of dishes, I can say to them, you know, if you put some soap and add some water to that sink, you can wash those dishes. Well, I'm communicating several different things to them in that communication, right? I'm being a little sarcastic, maybe a little condescending. But I'm trying to communicate to them, A, I want you to wash the dishes. But B, not only do I want you to wash the dishes, but I want you to think and take some initiative and help out around here. Do you see what I'm talking about? We do this all the time, right? Especially as parents. Like, we communicate multiple things simultaneously. We communicate not only by our words, but by our voice inflection, our body language. If I say, man, Rob, that is a nice shirt, my voice inflection has communicated something to him other than just the words that I'm saying. Now, I could just say, Rob, that's a nice shirt. But there's different communication happening there. See, the manner in which I express my exuberance for his shirt communicates not only that I like his shirt, but I really like his shirt. You see what I'm saying? So that's just an example to try to help you understand some things here. When we read these seven letters, we need to understand that there's more being communicated here than just what we see on the surface. The very structure of the letters is communicating things. God is communicating things to us is in the words that he's choosing, the structure in which these letters are formatted. I'm telling you, we could spend a lot of time in these letters. As I've been studying them, it's like the more I dig, the deeper it goes. And there is so much contained within these seven letters that we would do ourselves an injustice if we missed it. So with that being said, one of the first things I want to do is I want to go back into chapter 1, verse 12. So Revelation 1:12, if you want to turn there real quick. Because I think there's some things here we need to see going forward, going into the seven letters. The Bible says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. A lot of information there. One of the things we need to see is there are titles, if you will, descriptions that Christ refers to himself. There's also descriptions that John makes of what he sees. Hair like wool, flames of fire, sharp two-edged sword protruding out of the mouth, feet like brass. These are all descriptive terms. Those are going to come into play as we move forward in these seven letters. Each one of them has a purpose and a meaning as it pertains to the each seven churches. So in the letters of the seven churches, there's a pattern. We talked about last week, homework, look for patterns in the seven letters. Did anybody find any patterns? Did you raise your hand?
I can tell you some.
Okay.
Every one of them says, like, into the angel of this church.
Okay.
At the end it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church.
Okay. So there's some repetitive things in each one of these letters. I did some of the PowerPoint, but I really had a hard time this week getting a lot of this done. So we're kind of, I wish I had it up here so we could really lay it out. I think it's very useful, but there are patterns. In each letter we see, one, the church is addressed, right? The interesting thing to note, we'll read the first letter in chapter 2, beginning of church in Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. So, these churches are in Asia Minor, right? So, what we know is modern day Turkey. So, Ephesus is right here in this little gulf. Right here's Patmos, that's where John was that. He was on the island of Patmos. So, seven churches. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. All contained right here in this geographic location out here on the edge of Turkey, modern day Turkey or Asia Minor, with Patmos being down here. Just to give you some reference, this is all of Asia and Europe, right? So Turkey, lost my place, right here. So here's where these seven churches are, right here. Here's Greece, Italy, right over here is Israel. So you kind of get an idea where we're talking about in the world now, okay? These seven churches were chosen for a particular reason, and we're going to get into that later. Not today, but later. So it says, unto the angel of the church of right. One of the first things that ought to stand out to you is it says, unto the angel right. So the angel is the Greek word angelos, pronounced angelos. The meaning is a messenger or pastor. It often refers to the spirit beings that we know as angels. But it also oftentimes refers to pastors, okay? In this particular application, it's talking about pastors. Because here's the thing. I've had studying on this. There's a lot of scholars that believe he's talking about angels, like spirit beings. Well, I have a problem with that. And I'll tell you why I believe it's pastors. Now, a little common sense comes into play sometimes when you're studying your Bible. Why would the Lord tell John to write a letter unto angels? Spirit beings, angels, right? I think it's pretty obvious that this is not talking about the spirit beings. It's talking about pastors. Okay, so under the angel, so these letters are written to the pastors of these churches. Revelation 1:20 reveals the seven stars in Jesus' right hand are the seven angels of the seven churches. The right hand symbolizes power, ownership, and control in Scripture. These seven pastors are depicted in Christ's hand. Okay? Each letter is written to the pastor of each individual church body and addresses each church respectively and collectively. Now, not saying anything in regards to a universal church, but as you go on to read this, let's just read this first letter. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. Everybody go like this. Or you don't have to, but everybody's got ears, right? Okay. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You see, these letters were written, so like the letter to the church of Ephesus was written to Ephesus, but it was sent to the other seven churches as well. See, each church received a copy of this entire book we know as Revelation, containing these seven letters. Now, the Lord goes on to say, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Well, that pertains to you and I. So these seven letters were written to these seven churches, for each church independently, but also each letter applied to each church collectively, as they do to us. So some implications of this is that these letters, they had locality. In other words, they were intended for a local body of believers, a specific church. They also were intended, each church, to receive each letter. And they also have some personal implications. He that hath an ear, let him hear. So they were written for all of us, okay? I think what you'll find as you begin to study these letters, this is a sevenfold view of what a church should look like and what a church should not look like. You can take these seven letters, walk into any church, and start to discern some things. We could take these seven letters right here in this church and start to discern some things. Because this is what the Lord is telling us that these seven churches should look like, or what all churches should look like, and things that they need to deal with. Okay? So what we see is a pattern. One, we see the addressee, the church, the pastor, the angel of the church. And there's some implications and observations there. I'd actually like to hear any thoughts y'all have about the angels, the seven stars in his right hand, being the pastors. These letters are written to the pastors to then be disseminated to the church body. Hannah?
Not saying the letter didn't get to the pastor, but it does say the word angel.
Right. OK, Okay, so there are, and I can't think, we'd have to go back and look, and if you want me to, I can do that. But there are times when Scripture uses the word angel to refer to messengers other than the spirit beings we know as angels. The word pastor, I believe, what, shows up one time in Scripture? Once or twice. Okay, the word bishop, presbyter. So I think we're getting into language. We believe every word is inspired and thereby designed, right? Sometimes the plain sense truth in studying the Bible, when you look unto the angel of the church of, right? First question is, who's being addressed? Who am I writing this letter to? John's being instructed to write unto the angel of the church of, okay? The plain sense truth kind of goes back to what I was saying a minute ago. At what point did God ever tell any man to write a letter unto an angel? What would be the purpose in that? Where's the biblical precedent for it?
And that could be, it's just that's my thought, is it just seems like that could have been one of the times when God just gave an instruction that maybe didn't make sense to us, but he had a purpose. And I do believe it did make it to the church. I believe the church has definitely saw those letters.
Are we meant to understand everything in this book? I would disagree. This book is here for our learning. All Scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and instruction, correction, and instruction in righteousness. God didn't put anything in this book that he did not intend us to understand. Rob?
He writes a few paragraphs of Satan in Ezekiel.
Okay.
And I think that if you try to minimize that down to just pastor, even if it did have an application to the pastor, I mean, Book of Revelation is telling you all kinds of things that angels are doing. So I think in the Book of Revelation, to try to change the meaning of angel, I mean, from what it's been through the rest of the Bible down to only pastor, I think would be...
So not changing it, like, not changing it in this, in... When the Bible refers to... I'm trying to think of a good example. So you're familiar with Alma or Alma, a young maiden, right? Is that the Hebrew Alma? Okay, so a lot of times I have one guy in particular argues with me. He argues with me. I don't argue with him. That Mary wasn't a virgin because of the use of the word Alma. Right? You familiar with what I'm talking about? I don't want to go too far off on a rabbit trail. Right, okay. Right. So young mate, so I'm getting, that's a terrible way to go with that, so let's just abandon that. But sometimes the plain sense truth is just the plain sense truth. What would be, we have to ask questions, and we're not here to argue. We're here to provoke one another, and you provoke me just as much as I want to provoke you in a good way. What would be the purpose? Where would it fit in this whole book of Revelation for him to write these letters to these seven churches, addressing him to the angels? Where would it fit?
The angels are the watchers, so if you did think that this was periods of time, with the Philadelphia period ending around 1890 or so, if you looked at those as periods, that was kind of like the mandate of what the angel is going to do and what's actually going to happen.
Are you referring to the church age?
The block, you know, yeah.
Okay.
I know in our church that some people don't believe that, which that's fine, right. But if, as long as you leave angel as angel, then someone can go either way with it.
I'm not necessarily suggesting that there isn't a deeper, that this isn't twofold. You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
The point I'm trying to make is that he tells him to write unto the angel of the church of, right? So there is a position of authority within that. He didn't just generally address that letter. You know what I'm saying? That God always does everything decently and in order. Yeah.
Does the address to angel mean, is it referring to a being, or is it referring to what that being is? Like we have passages that call like Barnabas an apostle. Was he an apostle? No, not of the 12, right? But what's that say? That he was, in a sense, a chosen one to deliver message of apostolic origin. So it's really referring to what he was doing. So when you look in Revelation, it is written, whatever is in the book of Revelation is written specifically to the churches, as it says earlier in chapter number 1, unto the churches. You look at Revelation 1:17, and it says that it actually tells us who the stars are. It tells right. Who the stars are, who the candlesticks are. And it again says that it's unto the churches. So whatever the angel is, sometimes when we see a word like that, we instantly think of, in a sense, like the being angel, which we don't even know what an angel is. So, I mean, is it referring to the seraphim? Is it referring to, we don't know. So I guess my question on that is, when we look at, when it says angel there, is that talking about the being or what the individual is to
the
do?
The role.
And ultimately, we know that those seven letters were directly for those churches. It wasn't just some angelic direction given, because it says, that's what it says earlier in Revelation 1. It is unto the churches, and then that they were to read, because it says, blessed is he that readeth and keepeth the prophecy. So they were, however, this, whatever this being is, whether it's a pastor, whether it's something that we want to make, you know, totally spiritual and not natural. If whatever it is, it was meant to deliver it as it was given unto the churches, and they were to read it.
Right.
Right? So, yeah.
So, honestly, when I was doing this, I had... It definitely, real quick. I never in a million years thought we were going to get hung up on that, but that's good.
That's a valid question to ask. You know, do we just say, I don't know that we just say that is the pastor, but I do believe it would be a physical messenger, you know?
I personally believe that practically speaking, just practically, that this is referring to pastors in this, and I have reason why I believe that as I've studied. Now, am I right? Not all the time. So I'm definitely open to correction. But there's other...
Open to understanding.
Yeah. Rob, we're running out of time, but go ahead.
Revelation 7, 1, it says, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, mm-hmm. holding the four winds of the earth.
Right. Right.
And so pastors, or even just people that might have the name angel, they can't do these things. And so in the book of Revelation that we're getting a lot of information about angels from, I think the idea right out of the beginning, like just trying to minimize it to a particular thing, I think is because I believe there is two applications. I think it probably is historically to those pastors. However, I think that there is also an absolute application.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to, it wouldn't be worth it to me to minimize it down to pastor and then lose the fact that I believe it's actually spirit beings too.
Because right, because it doesn't.
Watchers, we have people watching over us all the time, and that's who I think that mandate is to.
Okay. Well, we're just about out of time, but the word angel is general, right? Like, that encompasses a large body of, right, like, so he mentioned the seraphim, the cherubim, the archangels, you know, so on and so forth. The devil's an angel. Pastor's an angel. Or messengers, right? So we can use that word interchangeably. And I think that's kind of what you're getting at, is don't narrow it down to one thing, which I agree. We're really hung up on this thing, but I'm just saying, I think in this particular, not saying it doesn't apply in other senses like what you're saying, but what I'm saying is he's telling him to write unto the angel, and I believe that is referring to write this letter to the pastor, and like I said, there's other reasons why I believe that, but go ahead, and then we got to close.
I'm just going to say that I actually don't think that he's ever referring to cherubim when he says angel. So.
Okay. Well, the angelic host. Okay, so, man.
First 20, chapter 1 says that
the seven stars are a mystery, and the seven stars are the angels. So, God said it's a mystery, so thank you. Yeah.
We got nowhere today. I told you it was a week of battle all week long. Maybe this is why. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I was just thinking this. I believe it was Daniel, when Daniel prayed, and he was waiting 21 days
for the angel
to get an answer, and the Lord told him, he said, Daniel, your prayer was heard, it was heard the first day, and he said, I couldn't get an answer to you, because I was delayed, I was fighting with the prince of Persia.
Michael had to come help
me. He was a demonic prince over Persia, and so there are a lot of, and we studied this in Angel, you know, in the FBI.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of different hierarchies, and there's a whole hierarchy of spiritual on both sides. We think of angels being good, but then there's also the evil side, fallen angels, and. So there are a lot of beings in different layers or levels of administration in the spirit world, and I don't think we really understand all of them and just how great that whole structure is. And so if it says an angel of the church, I think that could be used to describe a pastor, but it can also be used to talk about the angel of the church, which... maybe
right.
We don't really comprehend.
Well, we're out of time. here's the point. I think there's some scholars believe there's like 7 points to each letter. Okay, so there's the addressee, the church. There's the title that Christ refers to himself by. There's the commendation and the admonition, okay? Then there is the promise to the overcomer and command, he hath a ear, let him hear. I think there's instruction for the admonitions. The Lord doesn't just tell them, hey, this is what you're not doing good, but here's what you need to do to fix it. So for the ninth, outline those seven letters, keeping those things in mind, that there's an addressee, there's a title that Christ uses to refer himself, which are all back in chapter 1, what we just read in chapter 1. In each one of those descriptive titles, he presents himself by one of those descriptions. And I believe that's important as it pertains to that church. Smyrna has been my favorite one to study so far. That's been phenomenal. I encourage you to really look at Smyrna. But keep those things in mind. The church, the commendation, the admonition, the title of Christ, the promise of the overcomer, and the prophetic nature of each of those churches. And just look at why, with it in mind, why these seven churches and how that applies to us. And I believe it's, if you look at these seven churches, you can get a view of what a church should and should not look like. Time is up. What an interesting class.